deal. How's everybody doing today? All right. Remember to pray for Pastor being out of town down in Texas. Be out for a couple of weeks. So you get the joy and privilege of listening to the fill-ins. All right, Brother Jim gave me this before we started this morning. It was just amazing how messed up this world really is. And just, you know, nothing ceases to amaze you anymore, does it? It's unbelievable what you see and what you read and what you hear. PETA sues over selfies by monkey. I don't know, what is this, a macaque? Is that macaque? A monkey. A monkey that took now famous selfie photographs should be declared the copyright owner of the photos rather than the nature photographer who positioned the camera, animal rights activists contend in a novel lawsuit filed Tuesday. So this monkey takes selfies of himself and now they want to give him the copyrights of the photos. They're suing over this. That's just, why doesn't he speak up for himself? How'd you like to be, you know, why does he come up and say, you know, whatever they say, you know, and then write all down and take it to court and see what happens, you know, just an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable. It's an amazing thing. It's almost as bad as the Pope leading, coming to town. It's an amazing thing. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. This has been an interesting study for me. It's unbelievable. This is going to spread out. I got Sunday school next week too, so just to forewarn you so you can plan to just come to the morning service next week. This will be continued next week more than likely, unless this goes really fast. A lot faster than I thought it would. But, you know, you're familiar with The Far Side. I think I was talking to Vlad about that comic, The Far Side, here a couple weeks ago, and there's a couple in there that are just hilarious. Well, most of them are pretty funny. And there's that one with the mosquito that's on the arm, and he had tapped into an artery. And he got, instead of just sucking blood, he just went, you know, he got real big. And his buddies over there, you know, I can't remember the name of what he called. He goes, pull out, Carl, you hit an artery, you know. So that's kind of, you know, that's the way I felt when I started looking into this. I started studying this verse, and all of a sudden, it just like I hit an artery. It was like, oh man, there's so much here. This is unbelievable. So you're just going to have to bear with me. There's a lot of information, a lot of scripture. Most of it's in the book of Proverbs. I'd say 99% of it's in the book of Proverbs. So, let's have a word of prayer. It's a lot for me to decipher, so I hope I just pray that I need the Lord's help on this one. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word in a world that's so messed up. Lord, it's just nice to have something that's true and right and real and something solid that we can stand on in this day of miry clay. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless our time in your word this morning. A lot of information, Lord, in your word, and I just pray that as I scratch the surface of your infinite truth, Lord, that it makes sense. In your precious name, amen. All right, let's verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Right? That's the text. Seven pillars. Wisdom hath builded a house, all right? So we can go with that. It's already built the house. And then there's a couple words in here I want to go over real quick. We're going to, if you haven't noticed, we're going to title this the Seven Pillars of Wisdom. All right? Hewn out. This is cut out. All through it, there's the Bible, the word hewn is used about 12 times. It just means to cut. So there's a couple scriptures in the Gospels where it says a tree that wasn't bearing fruit was hewn down and cast into the fire. So a hewn is just a cut. And this, now here it says to cut out. Because it says she hath hewn out her seven pillars. So they cut them out of something. And most pillars you see or you think of in old architecture is just the big stone columns you see, the big pillars holding up. So we're going to go with that. There's other pillars that are used in the Bible. I'm not going to say that these are stone pillars or wood pillars. I'm going to go with the stone just for the purpose of this because it's solid. Wisdom in the Bible obviously is referring to God or Jesus Christ, and He is the solid rock. So we'll just go with that. He's not made of cedar. He's the chief cornerstone. So we'll go with stone pillars on this one. A pillar is used as a supporter, that which sustains or upholds, that on which some superstructure rests. Okay, so you think of wisdom, and when I started reading this, wisdom is so big. It's unbelievable. It's so large because it's God in general. It's all the attributes of God in one. And to put that, that's a superstructure. In the Navy, we had on my ship, the USS Iowa, the hull was the same hull as used on aircraft carriers. The only difference was when they built up the superstructure of the Iowa was built. They put the guns on the deck, and then they built the superstructure right in the middle. And then the aircraft carriers built up even further onto the hull, and then put the flight deck on. So that's the main difference, but the superstructure is that middle part. If you look at a Navy ship and see that middle part that goes way up in the air, that's the superstructure. And now that hull had to be just positioned right, that superstructure had to be positioned right in order for that ship to stay upright. It couldn't be top heavy. The superstructure couldn't be built like this. It'd be like, what's going on here? I don't get it. It doesn't float. So that'd be something I would make, you know. That'd be I don't get it. But the pillars are something that's supercharged. So I'm reading this and I'm like, built the house, but it doesn't say what the seven pillars are. So that just kind of intrigued me. So I started looking into what are the seven pillars. I taught a little bit about this at the nursing home 1 week, and it was one of those. I don't know, I hate to say it this way, but in one of those quickie sermons, seven pillars, go through, find out, and put it together, and okay, we're good. But now that I look into it more, I'm just like, wow, there's more to this than meets the eye. So we're going to start getting into it here. And this week we're going to just talk about the superstructure part. Well, the superstructure and the pillars. The superstructure is wisdom itself. And you think of God and the infinite God that we serve and how big He is. And it's just, you know, we always say, you think about the things that God does and you just can't comprehend it. You just can't grasp God. You can't. And that's a pretty big superstructure. But now we're going to talk about the pillars. What does this rest on? What is this superstructure rest on? And that's a pretty big thing. So we're going to start writing a few things down here on the board. See, I had a vision on Wednesday of heaven, and this is what the house of wisdom in heaven looks like. So when you get up there, this is exactly what it's going to look like. That was a joke. That was a joke. So, I'm just going to teach from back here. All right. So first of all, we're going to start. We'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. And we're just going to start. I'm going to go through each pillar of what I found. Now this, if you look at this and you see something that you could add or anything at all, this is an open forum, okay? All right? But this is what I found. And if you have something that you think would fit better in there, that's great. Let me know and we'll go with it. See what happens. This is, 'cause this is, This is such a large thing. I encourage you to go home and look at this yourself too, because there's a lot to it. But chapter 1 in Proverbs, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Right, so that where the fear of the Lord is, where the beginning of knowledge, and it just compares it with wisdom and instruction. If we look at chapter 2, just a page over, chapter 2, verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now you'll notice one thing too, once we start making these pillars or putting them up here, that they all kind of intertwine, they all support one another. They're not only just one portion of wisdom, but they're all kind of, you know, blend together. They all kind of support each other. It's really kind of interesting. The first one we're going to put is knowledge. I hope I can fit all these words in these little spots here. It took me hours to draw this, you can tell. Okay, so we got, I'm just going to put the number references up here unless it's another book. But most of the references are for Proverbs, right? So we got 1:7 and we got 2:6. Then we can look at chapter 14, verse 7. We can look over there real quick. If I get there, I'm just going to read it. And a lot of them I already have printed out on my sheet here, so I may just read them for sake of time. 14:7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." So here you got a foolish man. You know, a foolish man, a lot of times the Bible says a foolish man, or a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He says it twice. So it's foolish. This is when you get out, when you're out on the streets and you're talking to somebody about Christ, giving out the gospel, and they don't want anything to do with God, it's best just to walk away. You know, don't give the Lord a bad name. Don't say something ridiculous. It also, I mentioned wisdom too. A lot of times, I don't think I'll mention any of these verses in the study here, but it's the wise man when he perceiveth not. You know, if he comes across a fool and the guy that wants to argue, he just kind of closes his mouth and walks away. It's smarter just to not say anything at all than to say something and give the Lord a black eye. All right? So, 14:7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." A foolish man, that'd be somebody like that sues for money for a monkey. I think that would fall in that category, wouldn't you? Proverbs 18:15 says, The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Okay, so here we are, another pillar, another verse for knowledge and wisdom. Well, 18:15, I'm sorry. 18:15, so we got knowledge being the first pillar of wisdom that I found in the Word of God. Chapter 22, if you want to turn over there, chapter 22, verse 17. Another verse for the support. "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, and they shall with all be fitted in thy lips." Okay, so 22:17 talks about comparing wisdom and knowledge. Bow thine ear to knowledge. Okay, so the first pillar we got is knowledge. Knowledge is not just, you know, I don't know, most of you, when I grew up, there was a thing on Saturday mornings called Schoolhouse Rock. Okay, and they always said their thing was knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Well, that's true in some aspects, but some knowledge is not good knowledge, and some of it will not get you power anywhere. Some of the knowledge, the worldly knowledge you hear in the news and stuff you hear from other people or read in the newspaper, that's not good stuff. you know, suing for monkeys, other things we've heard. Reading, you know, I don't know if it interested you or not this week, but reading what the Pope was saying to people, how he's going to, you know, all the religions of the world should come together and be one. You know, that's good to me, because that means I'm leaving. You guys can all get together and take your confusion and your falsehoods and your lies and combine them all and see what you come up with. A big quagmire. That's going to be a lot of fun for you guys. Have at it. Have at it. You know, I appreciate the Pope coming in here and expediting the Lord's soon return. I like that. That's good. I'm glad he came over here and did that for us. You know, what a moron. But anyways, you know, the knowledge of, you know, it was kind of sickening to see how people just fall all over this guy. You ever read your Bible? Seriously, do you ever read the Word of God and see what this guy is about? No, they just take him at his word. There was one jerk over here in the cities, had an audience with the Pope at some time and said, I just had to pause and think that this is actually Jesus Christ talking. Really? Did you see the nail prints in his hands? How about the spear in his side? You see any scars in his brow from the thorns? Really? Yeah, that's the knowledge you want. That's knowledge. This knowledge is founded on a true foundation. It's on a solid rock. It's knowledge that's found in the Word of God. It's not found on the news, the newspaper, or anything like that. This knowledge, this pillar is solid. It's hewn out. It's not pieced together. It's hewn out. It's cut out in one solid piece. Knowledge. There's nothing out there that's going to make this crumble. This is a pillar that's upholding wisdom, Almighty God, and what He knows and what He wants to impart to us. How is that going to fall apart? None of it is. You can shoot holes in everything the Pope says, but everybody just thinks you're a hate monger. And that was another thing he talked about, getting on the fundamentalists of certain religions. Okay, bring it on. Bring it on. Are you ready for that? You have Scripture for that. I have to prepare myself a little more. I have to be ready for when people start questioning me about these things. Nobody said anything to me yet, but they're going to be sorry if they do. I'm not going to say it in a mean way. I'm just going to say, look, what he said was messed up. What he said was wrong. And this is why. You know, if you think about this, this is a long rabbit trail, but you think about it. What if, you know, let's see. You know, Zach's from Wisconsin, all right? He's over in Wisconsin. I've never been to your house, have I, Zach? Okay. Hey, Chris, can you tell me how to get to Zach's house? Big sign on 94, Zach's house this way, huh? No, it's just the same. Is why am I going to trust a guy to tell me to get to heaven who's never been there? Why wouldn't you want to follow the map? Why wouldn't I consult the person who lives there to get to heaven? These people are trusting a guy that's never been there to tell them the truth. Isn't that amazing? Why don't they consult the knowledge of God, Almighty God? That's an amazing thing. This is going to be a long lesson if I keep going. All right. Okay, let's go to the second one. The second one. You're almost there. Chapter 2. This one's an obvious one. But chapter 2, we'll just start in verse 1. We're going to read 1 and 2 and then verse 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You read understanding, the word understanding in the Bible and wisdom, if you read wisdom and understanding, they appear 43 times or 40 times in the same verse together. They're like Siamese twins. You read Job 28:28. Pastor mentions that verse quite a bit. Let me write this. I can't do two things at once. Oh. That's terrible. Anyways, understanding. It says that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Okay, so here we got two and six. Again, these references are mostly in the book of Proverbs. Write down verse 11. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So when you got wisdom, you got understanding. So they just kind of go hand in hand. If you're departing from evil, you're fearing God. If you're fearing the Lord, you're departing from evil. They just kind of go together. They just kind of go together. Turn over right there, 3:13, chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom and understanding is kind of the Siamese twins of the Bible. Okay, then we go down to verse 19 in chapter 3. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. Wisdom and understanding. All right. So we got a couple more here. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 13 and 23, it says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. So chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 13 and 23. Okay, then another reference, turn over to chapter 14 of Proverbs. This will be the last one for understanding. Chapter 14, verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Isn't that what understanding is? Right? That's what it says in Job 28, 28. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. 14:16. All right. I should have spread them out here, making them a little top heavy here. That's not a good pillar. All right. So understanding, the second pillar of wisdom. They go hand in hand. Understanding is mentioned 53 times in the book of Proverbs. 53 times. And it's a book of wisdom. So it has to go hand in hand. They just kind of melt together. They just kind of blend together. Okay? So let's go on to the next one here. Try the next pillar. We got knowledge and we have understanding. Five more to go. All right? Let's turn over to chapter 2 again. Chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Same verses we just read. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. All right? So here we go. We got discretion. Discretion. I put the word, this is, I put three words in this one together because they all pretty much run on the same thing. I can't fit three words in here, so I'll put two of them down here. So we got judgment. I know that's a curse word around here. Judge not that ye be not judged. Prudence and discretion. This kind of goes, you can kind of look at this and see how it kind of blends together. You use judgment when we're talking about arguing with a guy, a fool. you know, somebody that wants to argue and stuff. You just step back and just, it's probably best to step back and listen to what they got to say. Because a lot of, you know, I get in the flesh a lot of times and I just want to spout off and say what I think is right. Well, you know, this is what God says. This is what, well, you're wrong. This is what God, you know, and cut them off and not listen to what that's such a lost art is listening. To step back and listen to them and then take what they say and turn it back on them. You know, I know guys like that that just have a way with words. They're very gifted. And a lot of it, I think, just has to do with listening to what the other person is saying. I had a guy, went door knocking with a guy down in Florida. This guy's really good. I mean, he's a good talker, good speaker. He knocks on the door, and I know you've all been with people like this that know what they're doing. And he knocked on the door, and this lady comes to the door, and through the early parts of the conversation, said, "I'm not a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon." And she goes, "Well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness." And most of us would go, "Oh." But he's like, "Oh, really?" But he just kept on going. By the time we left that door, he had her laughing at her own religion, at what she believed. You know, and her husband, you know, he was inside listening. And all of a sudden, at one time, he bursts out the door. He says, "Oh, yeah, what about the 144,000 Jews? What about the 144,000? What about them, huh?" And Steve goes, "Oh, yeah, the 144,000. They're Jews, they're virgins, and they're male." And the guy goes, walk back in the house. But he didn't do it in a slight, "Oh, yeah, well, they're Jews, and they're virgins, and males. Yeah, so there." You know, he just stepped back and just let him talk. And then he just took, "Well, the Bible says this is what that's all about." You know, just using discretion and judgment. So here we got chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Oops. There we go. Judgment, discretion, prudence. Chapter 8, go over to chapter 8. Verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." You see how they go together? Prudence and find out knowledge. You'll see this throughout all the scriptures. They just keep mentioning each other and talking about each other. It's like they're a team, and they are. It's really kind of neat. Unlike any Minnesota teams we have. 8:12, prudence. Prudence. Chapter 16, verse 21 says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." There again, they just kind of keep talking about each other. 16:21. Okay, then we got, turn over to chapter 24 in Proverbs. Chapter 24, verse 23. "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." You know, we fall short so many times thinking we're so high and mighty in who we are. You know, we have something that the world is looking for. And if we come off all cocky and arrogant and stupid, they're not going to want what we got. And we have the truth. We have Jesus Christ. World doesn't know that's what they're looking for right now. They have to get to the end of what they're looking for in the world. A lot of them do. Pleasure. You see how it is. The devil, he's not stupid. He just keeps creating more and more pleasure. Look at how popular sports has become. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they used to overlap like they do now. I mean, you're having almost where the baseball and hockey playoffs are at the same time now. It's just crazy how they overlap. They're playing hockey in the middle of May. It's like, really? But then you got golf and you got football, but the major sports, football, baseball, hockey, basketball, they all just kind of overlap each other now. So you can go from one to one to one to one, you know, and I got this sport, now I got this sport, now I got this sport. Oh, now I got the playoffs, and this sport's starting. And Oh, FanDuel. I got to get on FanDuel. I got to get my fantasy team together here. And they're just making it, you know, just, oh, it's right there. I got to have it all the time. And you can't just watch it at home. You got to go to the bar. You just got to have drinks with this, because if you're a Minnesota fan, you got to drink. You know, because you got to drown your sorrows somehow. You know, you know, it's just an amazing thing. But it's not just sports either, but the movies are becoming more and more popular. Yesterday I drove by the theater over here off of Foley and 10, and it's a beautiful day. What was it, 75? Just a perfect day yesterday. Hardly any wind. And the theaters were packed. Don't you have anything better to do? But they're living, you know, you can't tell me, and this is another rabbit trail, sorry. But you can't tell me that all these murders and stuff going on in schools, that these video games don't have something to do with it. Because you can sit on that video game and kill somebody and they have no remorse. Because that guy will be in the game again tomorrow. He will be. And so they go into a school and shoot all these, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids and thinking they're going to be there in class the next day. But then they sit there and look at these dead bodies and realize, wow, I really messed up. These people are really dead. Boom. They're done. No, everything's solved with a gun now. And they have no peace. They can't get any contentment. It's just, but we can't go out there with a chip on our shoulder and arrogant and be cocky and snap at people. And we got to tell them, you know, you ever had somebody come up, how do you deal with this all day? I have inmates all the time. How do you come here and deal with these people all day? And all I can say is, it's not me. It really isn't. If it was me, I'd bring a gun to work. I tell guys jokingly a lot of times, this is why they don't give us weapons. Because you just sit there all day, bing, 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 bing. You know, you know, but all it is you're not as good as I am. You're not as good as I am. Or, you know, you messed with me. You messed me over. You're done. Once I'm the only guy in the world, then it'll be fine. That's what it is. Now everything's solved. That guy's dead. But you still didn't get your raise. You still got fired. You still don't have a job, and now you got to put that you killed 2 people on your resume too. So, you know, how's that going to help you out? All right? So judgment. Lack of judgment. The people, we can't go out and look at a person and say, with a turban on their head, and immediately, just like me, I do it all the time. It's like, oh, you know, I mentioned it the other day, you know, just flippantly, this lady had the burqa and all the garb on and her little kids, and they're going into Sam's Club, and I'm like, oh, grab your bombs, here we go. You know, just, that's what comes to your mind. But we got to look at them and say, this person has been deceived. They've been deceived. They need the truth. They need to hear, but to suck it in and just get rid of myself and to go up and witness these people and give them a track and witness to them. Or if you have the opportunity to tell them the truth, that's judgment. We have to, these things not only are holding up the wisdom of God, but they're also things that we need to apply to our lives. If we want to abide in wisdom, it's a lot. It's a lot to soak in. And we won't know what this is all about, really, until we get our new bodies and we see Christ for who He is. And we just sit there and hang our heads and say, boy, was I short. I really fell short. All right, we need to go. Not just stay seated. We need to go on the lesson here. All right, woo-hoo. Let's go home. All right, next pillar, number 4 here. Turn to chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Proverbs. Most of these I'm just going to read now just so we can get through the pillars. Then next week we'll finish it up. I found something that was really interesting, because I know when we get done with this lesson, you're going to say, what about this thing? Because it was the first thing I asked my wife. I said, when you think about wisdom, the pillars of wisdom, what's the first thing you think of? And she mentioned this verse. And that's next week we're going to cover that verse, okay? It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That we're going to talk about that next week. It's really interesting. So just I just want to intrigue you so you come back next week, all right? All right, chapter 1, verse 5, and a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You see how they interact? Isn't that neat? That is so cool. Learning and understanding and wise counsel. So now we got counsel and instruction. Now this isn't in any specific order, okay? So, you know, if you're saying, well, I think knowledge should be in the middle, that's a little more powerful, and, you know, this is no specific order, right? They're all just kind of... Okay, so we got counsel and instruction. All right, chapter 1, verse 5, we got that one. 8:33, chapter 8, verse 33 says, hear instruction and be wise. That's pretty cut and dry. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Okay, chapter 12, verse 15 in Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Counsel, 12:15. Okay, then we go down to chapter 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. 13:10. And these guys, the guys I work with at work, all they want to do when there's a disagreement, they just snap. It's just, let's throw it out, let's fight. You know, it's always that. It's like, really? Is that how you solve things? Oh, you disagree with me? You know, okay, who's next? I'm right. No, but if you go up to them and say, is that really the way you want to solve this thing? You want to stay in here for another 5 days because you're stupid? Or do you want to go home and be with your family? Oh, I really never thought of that. Yeah, I know. You never thought. That's where you should have cut that off right there. Okay, chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. 15:31. Chapter 17, verse 10 in Proverbs, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. That's a powerful verse. Well, all these are powerful, but some of them just stick out, don't they? 100 stripes. Can you imagine what that was like getting whipped like that? How brutal that was? But some people still didn't learn. Still didn't learn. 100 stripes. Chapter 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Okay? Every week we come here to church and we hear a pastor give us counsel. Reading from the Word of God. Preaching what God showed him. It's wise counsel for latter end. Maybe it's latter end may be Tuesday. Latter end may be 2 weeks from now. But it's wise counsel. And there's a reason he preached that for whoever is here that day. Because you're going to need it at some time coming up. It may not be till people are in your face and say, reject Christ or die. You never know. You never know. All right, let's turn over to the last ones here are fairly short, so this should go pretty good. All right, this one's a tough one to go. Chapter 11 in Proverbs, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 2. We'll start in verse 1. A false balance is abomination of the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The lowly is wisdom. Lowly is humble, humbleness. That's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? truly is. All the fights, all the arguments, all the disputes that you see and that you witness on a regular basis, I'm right, you're wrong. It's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. We got the presidential debates coming up. Boy, those are fun to listen to, aren't they? I'm right, you're wrong. I'm better than you. I know more than you. And then so-and-so did this. No, I didn't. One of them's lying. You know, voting for the lesser evil. He's still evil. You know? It's just a joke. Well, so-and-so did this. No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, well, I got a better plan. You know, it's just on and on and on and on. Well, the answer to the world is this. No, it's this. No, it's that. Hey, the answer is Christ. But you threw him out how many years ago? Took the Bible, booted it out of the schools. You don't care about the truth. You know, you got, I read something about that, what Carson said about, Ben Carson mentioned that a Muslim should not run this country. He is right. They don't agree with our Constitution. But, you know, he was skirting on the idea too. He may not have meant it that way, but religion purposes, they don't believe anything that's right. They don't. And anywhere, I heard a pastor say this once, anywhere you have true Christianity, a nation that's following Christ, you have a nation that's clean. You can deny that all you want. Anywhere you have Muslims that are worshiping the fake God Allah, it's dirty. And he referred to Afghanistan as Trashcanistan. But it's true. You look at them. You look at these countries. But it's because people are so proud. And that pride is the root of, to me, is the root of all sin. It's the root of all arguments. It's the root of everything that's wrong. It's pride. It's contention. Give the guy a gospel. No, I'm Catholic. I'm fine. Slam the door. I'm proud of my fake religion. I'm proud of my false beliefs. No, you're too proud to step back and say, I'm wrong. You know, I get pride swell up sometimes and not admit I'm wrong, and then realize, wow, I am wrong. I really messed up. Then I have to go back on my knees and apologize. Not literally, but I don't think I can get up again. But go back and you have to apologize saying, I was wrong. I messed up. I was wrong. I've had to do that to a couple inmates. I've locked them up and they weren't the ones that did the deed, come to find out. And I had to apologize to them. I'm sorry, I locked you up. You're the wrong guy. And they look at you like, you're apologizing to me? I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm not okaying what he did on the outside to get into jail. I'm not okaying his lifestyle. I'm not okaying the way he is. But I have to write something that I was wrong about. I've got to clear my slate. That's a bitter pill to swallow. It is. It's a bit humbleness. Humbleness. 11:2. All right, I'm getting off again. Then you got Chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We just talked about that quite a bit. This church is phenomenal. In fact, that we have so many people that are willing to go out and witness to coworkers, and witness, knock on doors, total strangers, and witness to them. Go out to the state fair and hand out tracts. But we can't get puffy about that. We just have to be, I think we should be more honored to be in a church that does that anymore, because there's not many left that do that. And to think that we don't do it for our own pat on the back or a feather in our own cap, but because of what Christ did for us. That's the only reason we should be doing it. If we come here for any other purpose or any other reason, we're wrong. We're wrong. And I'd hate to be standing in a... You know, I think about when everybody's excited about the Lord's return and the trumpet sounding, but to think when that trumpet sounds and seeing Christ face to face, wow, I could have done so much more. What, all that pride's just going to melt away. All that, look at what I did. It's just going to go right down the tubes. It's not going to matter one bit. Oh, I'd hate to be a staunch Catholic standing before the Lord one day. Oh, I went to church 4-5 times a week, and I lit so many candles, and I ate, 15 boxes of crackers and drank 72 bottles of wine, and he's just going to say, what was your name again? I don't know who you are. What? I'm Pope John Paul. I'm Pope Frank. You don't know who I am? I kissed a crippled kid on the forehead in New York the other day. I don't care. What did you do with Christ? What did you do with that guy you guys keep on the cross? They showed him doing that mass the other day in New York. It was just pathetic. They're sitting there standing in front of the statue of Mary doing this, and Christ is on a cross up there just kind of looking down like, man, you're messing up. Why do you have me up here looking down on this? That's what I thought. It's just like, they're sitting there standing in front of my mom. That's my mom. She did nothing. She was a good woman, but she did nothing for you. It's just like Christ is standing up there just with his head down. You've seen the crucifixes, he's sitting there with his head hanging like this, kind of like he's sad. How come you're keeping me nailed up here? How come I'm up here? I rose from the dead. I'm your Savior. I want to save your soul. I'm not in that cracker. It's amazing, though. Then they take the rest of the bag of crackers and stick them in a box and lock them up. Okay, let's put Christ away until the next communion. That's unbelievable. Amazing. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, 16, 18, and 19. Got a couple more to go through. I guess that's why I went to 2 weeks on this, because I knew I'd ramble. All right, let's turn over to the second to the last one here. Chapter 2, Proverbs. Chapter 2, verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk upwardly. Verse 9, we'll just keep going with 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Righteousness. Sixth pillar, righteousness. Righteousness, and that was chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. Turn over to chapter 10 of Proverbs. Chapter 10, righteousness, living godly, living like He wants you. And that's what all these do. A knowledge of God will help you know how to live godly. Understanding, fleeing evil, that's living righteously. Judgment, using your head. And your heart, yielding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Counsel, hey, I'm having trouble. We've got a lot of people here that you can talk to about right things, but the main thing is the Word of God. Where are you getting your counsel from? Who is the person you're talking to? Not a shrink. You need somebody that's well versed in the Word of God, so they can give you answers that are true and right, just like the God who wrote it. All right, so we can live our lives right. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, you got the whole comparison of righteous. It talks about the word righteous appears many times in this chapter. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but casteth away the substance of the wicked. You see the correlation, the righteous and the wicked. Righteousness, righteousness. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The just of the just. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Righteousness. I read the wrong one. Anyways, all right. I wrote down the wrong one. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. 16, this labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. And on and on and on and on. Talks about righteousness and righteous, living a righteous life for God in Him. And it's chapter 10, if you read through it. It's mentioned in other chapters as well. But I noticed it more in this chapter than any other. You may have noticed it in other books or other chapters yourself that explain it more. But that's where I saw it. So, okay, then we'll go on to the last one here. Let's go Job. I'm going to go to Job. Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12, verse 13. This is Job talking. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. You see how these all go together? Isn't that neat? That is so neat. Verse 16, go down to verse 16. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. That's interesting. Okay? Strength. Strength and might is our last pillar we're going to look at this morning. Strength and might. Strength, might. And we had Job. Was that 12, right? 13 and 16. Now this verse, this next verse really kind of stuck out to me. This is really like an all-encompassing thing. It's really amazing. Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah real quick. Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. There again, they just kind of intertwine. Knowledge, strength. We'll put that one down, 24:5. But turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. This will be the last thing we cover here this morning. Verse 2 through 4. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick, make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Might and strength. Might and strength. But this passage covers them all. They're all there. It's all about wisdom and all about these things. And it's just amazing how they intertwine and support one another. You get one, you get the other. And they just it's kind of almost like the domino effect. And next week when we look into this a little more, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord and how that just brings it all together. It really does. You know, that would be the main verse, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But that's, you look at the fear of the Lord and what the Bible says about it, and it just kind of brings all of these together and makes it one solid unit instead of separate units. Okay? So let's go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll look at this more next week. If you think of anything, really, if you look into it more and you find anything, feel free to talk to me. We'll implement it somehow, or I'll tell you you're wrong because I'm right. And we'll just continue this next week and take a little bit more look into it. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the Word of God and the solid foundation that it is. I mentioned that already, but Lord, it truly is. Lord, I look at the world and how messed up it is and with the emptiness that they follow after. It's just an amazing thing. But Lord, we were all there at one time. Help us not to forget that. And Lord, help us to start implementing some of these pillars and getting more wisdom, more of your wisdom in our life and not our own. It says your thoughts are above our thoughts and your ways above our ways. And Lord, I just pray that we would strive to reach that goal in our lives. Thank you again. Be with Brother Dave now as he comes from the morning service. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through him in a mighty way. Help us to be attentive to what you want to teach us. And thank you again for these people coming, even when pastors out of town, Lord, that speaks volumes for their desire to know the truth or just have good fellowship and talk with friendly people who aren't cussing and swearing and talking about what they did over the weekend. And Lord, just thank you so much for this church and the people in it. I pray that you'd bless the rest of our day together in your name. Amen.